Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mirror man, you twist and turn my mind until I don't know who I am. Mirror man.
Good morning and welcome to a new edition of the Arsenal Opinion Podcast. This is a special one today. Hot off the press, Arsenal are about to sign Fabio Vieira. I didn't have a clue about it. I had no idea who this player was. But as soon as I realised he was playing in the Portuguese league with Porto, there was only one man on the planet that I wanted to speak to, and that's Zach Lowy. Zach, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Excited to be on. And yeah, let's get to it.
Yeah, before we get into it, though, I want to just talk about your credentials. I think you're one of the best young writers on the planet at the moment, and you are an absolute bona fide expert in Portuguese football. Like, give us a little bit of a summation of what you've been up to in the last year.
I've been writing for quite a few companies about Portuguese football. I have my weekly podcast on Portuguese football, the Corte Linhas podcast. And I try to, you know, watch as many games as I can on a weekly basis. And that's it comes in handy for, you know, weeks like over the past week where everyone's trying to hit you up for something on Darwin Nunez and then something on Fabio Vieira. I didn't expect two blockbuster transfers in the span of 1 week, but the Portuguese league becoming a very good feeder league, and it's only a matter of time before more and more clubs, you know, follow that pattern, I think.
And I heard a little rumor on the grapevine, like, as people do ask, you know, how do you become a football writer? I heard a rumor that you taught yourself another language so you could immerse yourself in a football culture. Is that true?
Yeah, so funny story. It was actually 3 years ago in 2019. I went to the Toulon tournament, which is one of the biggest youth tournaments in football. And I didn't know Portuguese, but I wanted to interview Brazil's players because they had the best squad. They had players like Mateus Cunha, Antony, some very talented players. So I prepared some questions beforehand with my Brazilian friend, and I was able to interview a few, such as Emerson and Douglas Luiz, despite not knowing Portuguese. And then I returned to the States, and I really wanted to learn Portuguese. So I just started learning. And after having previously learned Spanish, it was kind of an easy transition. I've gotten the chance to interview quite a few players in Portuguese, which has been great.
It's unbelievable. You should check out the channel. I will leave it in the bio after, or follow Zach or his website at BTLVid. So let's jump right in. Arsenal are in the transfer market this summer. You and I have spoken separately about the need for a midfielder and a striker. I don't think anybody saw Arsenal signing a player like Fabio Vieira. Most of us had to double take. Most of us had to go onto YouTube to discover who he was, myself included. Yes. I'm going to go right to you, Zach. I don't have a hot take on this player. Yeah. So hottest of takes, what the hell have Arsenal signed here?
Look, I mean, it's an interesting one, okay? And I think that it took a lot of people by surprise, including Porto fans, because I think that the rumors have been that Vitinha, who's his midfield partner, who he's played alongside, often considered, you know, I don't want to go too far, but perhaps the Xavi to Fabio's Iniesta for youth level at Porto in Portugal. You know, you watch them at youth level, and they honestly they play like that. But Fabio, unlike Vitinha, had not really locked down a starting spot this season. But with that being said, he was finally playing regular football, whether it's coming off the bench or starting, and he started quite a lot. He did well as a wide playmaker, as a second striker, and overall was just a very important player in Porto's domestic double. Started getting a lot more minutes after two factors. After he renewed his contract in November, he was set to be a free agent this summer. And so I think that combined with as well, just learning and kind of getting on the program with Sergio Conceição, as well as Luis Diaz's midseason departure to Liverpool. I think that opened the door for him to have a lot more minutes and really just become a very important player for this Porto team. I think that, you know, without Diaz, Porto had to change the way they attacked in many ways. And Fabio isn't a similar player to Diaz, but he is a player who can unlock those deep blocks with a very, you know, incisive pass. He's a phenomenal playmaker who can really thread the needle. And yeah, I mean, my biggest criticism up until last season, up until this season, was Sergio Conceição. My biggest criticism of him was just his lack of confidence in youth players. But I think that that has really changed since the U21 Euros of last year, where we saw a number of Porto players, whether it's Vitinha, Diogo Costa, and Fabio Vieira as well, you know, playing a big role in Portugal's run to the U21 Euros final, unlucky to lose to Germany. But I do think that really opened Conceição's eyes to, you know, I've got to start using these players. So I don't think it's any coincidence that we've seen, you know, Diogo Costa, a player who was third choice in many ways prior to this season, you know, having an undisputed starting spot in goal. We've also seen João Mário, a player who's been playing out of position as a right back. Vitinha playing in the double pivot role alongside Mateus Uribe. Overall, it's just really clicked. So I also don't think it's any coincidence that the first season that Conceição really starts trusting these Olival youth products from the Porto Academy line, Porto have their best season since when André Villas-Boas was in charge.
So that all sounds really interesting. There's a whole bunch of things that I want to unpack there. I spent a bit of time. I spent about 12 minutes analysing this guy earlier today, and there were a few things that stood out to me. Firstly, his quick release from deep. He almost can play the ball out of the back a bit like Neves or a Granit Xhaka. And then when he gets into the final third, he's got a Swiss Army knife of tools that he uses. And he looks like he can do some of the attacking things that Tielemans can do, but also some of the bits Martin Ødegaard could do. Some people say that he plays as a 10, but in Portugal, the 10 is a little bit different to how it's played in the rest of the world. Like this guy's transfer marked map of where he plays in the pitch, he's all over the place. Like what has attracted Arteta to this player? And I know that you watch a bit of Arsenal. What is he thinking here? Because you don't spend £29 million on a backup when you're Arsenal.
Yeah, and look, that's where I was a bit confused at the start when I first saw this rumor. I was like, how does Martin Ødegaard and Fabio Vieira, how do they coexist in the same team? Because they are very, very similar players. They're both left-footed. They both like to receive in the right half spaces and kind of weave their way. But I think they're also in many ways different players. I think that Ødegaard, you know, there's a word in Portuguese called desequilibrador, which I'm not sure the word in English, but it's like he's a player who's, I think Fabio is a different kind of 10. He's a player who perhaps makes a difference with that threading the needle, right? And Fabio has also played as a wide playmaker, playing on the left, capable of firing in a very good cross. I think that there's also potential for him to potentially work as a deeper lying playmaker, but I do think his bread and butter is as that 10 role. And I think people are perhaps naturally, you know, they realize that the number 10 in today's football is slowly dying out. And they think that, you know, any player who's a natural number 10 is a luxury signing. But the fact is, Fabio Vieira is not going to play anywhere near as much as he did if he did not get in on board with Conte Sal's principles, which I think is, you know, being combative off the ball, leading the press, winning the ball back. These are all characteristics that I think have a place in Mikel Arteta's arsenal. And I think that's a lot of that's perhaps one side of his game that you won't see in video compilations. But it is, I think, definitely one aspect that he has grown in and that has allowed him to really become a starter. Because and that was what we were saying at the first half of the season, you know, saying, when is Fabio going to get those chances that other players such as Vitinha and João Mario have been getting? And finally, a lot of those Porto fans who were defending Conceição were saying, oh, well, you know, he just needs to be more aggressive off the ball. And I think he's finally done that, right? He's really showcasing that ability. So he is not a luxury player. He may be, I think, best suited for that 10 role that is, I think, you know, perhaps reserved for Martin Odegaard. But I think it always pays to have competition in the squad. And I also, I don't think that Fabio is going to just come and be comfortable with a backup role. You know, I think that if he were to stay as a backup for 2 years, I think he'd probably demand a transfer because, frankly, he's a phenomenal talent, too good to be on a team's bench. And he's going to do everything he can to get into that starting lineup.
If you were to compare him to a Premier League player, or like, I mean, the Portuguese players tend to run through the Premier League at quite a rate. Like, who is he? Whose place is he taking in the Portuguese side? Or who should we look at when we're watching this player? Who should we be thinking about when he's 26 years old?
It's an interesting question. I definitely see a lot of links to a few Portuguese players, such as Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva. It's hard for me to pinpoint exactly. I think you could even go back to likes of Rui Costa or Deco. I see a lot of those, you know, playmakers who are so good at breaking down a deep block and just kind of, for me, he's just a player who can, you know, despite not being a fantastic goal scorer, he's a player who can win you a game just by his own individual talent, just whether it's, you know, picking out a pass or dribbling past a few players and you know, finding a teammate with a phenomenal pass. He's kind of a player who has the talent to decide games on his own. So I guess in many ways you could perhaps go back to early Bruno Fernandes in his first few months at Manchester United. But I would probably also say he's less he turns the ball over less than Bruno. He's, you know, perhaps less high risk, high reward. I think that he's a player who's going to allow you to retain possession in the final third, which is definitely a good thing if you're Arsenal.
There are always, I mean, I'm team tall striker. We've spoken about the striker that Arsenal are going to sign this summer. This guy is quite small. He's 5'7". Arsenal have signed a 5'6" player within the last 3 years. Lucas Torreira looked absolutely electric in Italy, couldn't hack it in the Premier League. And I think a large part of that was down to physicality. Do you have any concerns about his ability to command a Premier League pitch, being quite a slight frame?
I don't, because I just see so many other players like Luis Diaz, for example, or Bernardo Silva, who came in with a similar frame. I think, you know, perhaps Fabio is less electric, I guess, than Diaz, right? He's not going to be perhaps making as much of a difference in terms of his speed. And he's also a bit lanky as a player. So yes, I definitely think he's going to need to add some more muscle to deal with the Premier League's physicality. But with that being said, Portugal is also a very physical league. And like I said, you're not going to get to a starting spot at Porto under Sergio Conceição without that aggression. So that's definitely something that he does have to his game that he's going to need to improve for sure. But yeah, I'm with you as well. I don't think that For me, I don't think that Arsenal would be best off going with a short striker. I know they're in link to Gabriel Jesus, but personally, I would just go with a more physical option as a center forward.
So we've got Ed Welsh in the comments, and he said that one of the big pluses is that he was made captain of the under-21 Portugal team. Right. I mean, let's be honest, Portugal has churned out incredible players over the years. What should we read into this? What does this say about the guy's character?
Yeah, I think it definitely says that, you know, he's a player who above all is calm mentally, who I think can lead from the front. A player, you know, you don't really associate those kind of players, those tens, with the captain's armband, but I think that definitely shows a lot about his mentality and as well as his ability to step up in big games. You know, in Portugal's run to the U21 Euro final, there's a reason he won player of the tournament, because he was phenomenal in pretty much every single game I watched of him. So he's a player for the big occasion. And we've seen that not just with Portugal, but also at Porto. And I think looking at his stats over the qualifiers, right, he's carried that over, you know, not just with the U21 Euros of last year, but also scoring or assisting pretty much every single game this season for Portugal's U21 side. And yeah, it's definitely no coincidence that Rui Jorge gave him the captain's armband for Portugal.
And talking of like output, I mean, it's very clear what Mikel Arteta is looking for this summer. He's looking for players that can be definitive in the final third. I think he had 16 assists for Porto this season. The thing that I'm interested in is the goal scoring as well. He's only 22 years old. Arsene Wenger always used to say midfielders don't really pick up the goal scoring element of their game until they're 23 to 25. Do you see this player as a double digits goals and assists player moving forward? Like, what do you think?
I definitely think there's a potential. I think that Fabio, his assists are obviously the stronger part of this game. Look at it. He was in the top nine for assisters in Europe's top six leagues, and he played by far the fewest minutes out of all of them. And, you know, going up against players such as Lionel Messi, Thomas Müller, Kylian Mbappe, some of the best players in the world, he is already in that conversation, despite not being an undisputed starter. In terms of goals, I think that's definitely an area that he can improve on and will improve on, because he's shown that he can be very dangerous with his shots from outside the box. I think that he's potentially be a long shot threat. That's definitely one aspect where I think Arsenal need to improve is goals from midfield, goals from central areas in general. I think that's definitely an aspect where Fabio would certainly fit in.
And if you were to analyze his game, and you're obviously friends with a lot of Porto fans, what are the weaknesses that we should be looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of weakness, like I said, I think he has come in leaps and bounds in terms of, you know, aggression and physicality. I think that's still something that he needs to work on, both in, you know, I think perhaps physicality in terms of, I would say, winning aggressive duels, winning ground duels and aerial duels, probably something he could work on a bit. I would also probably say, for me, it's not really a consistency issue. I think he's shown that he can be consistent when given opportunities. So I don't have any issues with that. Don't have any issues with his availability. So there are a lot of good signs for this. But yeah, I think that perhaps physical duels off the ball, that's one. I suppose he could definitely add some more pace to his game, try to work on perhaps breaking down defenses with off the ball runs. I think that that's an aspect of his game that he could certainly add. I also think that would allow him to flourish as a player playing on a flank in attack rather than just as a central playmaker.
And I guess kind of last question, nobody has a more encyclopedic knowledge of everything going on in Portuguese football. Did you expect this to be one of the big summer moves out of Portugal this summer? Are you surprised, or is this just par the course?
Well, a few days ago, after Darwin Nunez's his move was finalized, I actually tweeted out, after Darwin Nunez, I think these players will be the next players to get out of the move. And I think Fabio was around the top of the list. With that being said, I did not expect him to get a move before someone like Vitinha, or Matheus Nunes, both of them who have been, you know, starters, or for example, João Palhinha, linked to Fulham right now, and who has, you know, already reached the Portugal senior team. So I think those are perhaps the biggest aspects why neither myself or any Porto fan expected this, because one, Fabio hasn't reached the Portugal senior team. Two, he isn't an undisputed starter. And I definitely think staying next season would have allowed him to take that step. But with that being said, you know, Luis Diaz was not a starter last season. He was not a starter until after his phenomenal Copa America. So he was only a starter for a few months at Porto before getting a move. And with that being said, when you watched him prior to this season, you could still see that he was clearly a special talent. And I think that's similar with Fabio. You know, you don't need to be a starter to prove your talent, to prove your efficiency either. I definitely expected someone like Vitinha or Matheus Nunes or, you know, Alex Grimaldo, shall we say, to get a big move before him. But with that being said, he is one of the most talented players in Portugal. And I think it was definitely, if he wasn't going to get a move this summer, I think it probably would have been after the World Cup, perhaps in 2023. I also think that's another benefit of this. I think he has a much better shot of getting into Portugal's World Cup squad ahead of the Qatar, you know, World Cup. We'll see what happens. But I think this will be a good move for his career in overall.
Great. And so before we sign off, Josh Kronkiewicz says, be excited. On a scale of one to excited, how excited should Arsenal fans be about Fabio Vieira?
I would say a 9. I mean, I think that, as people have mentioned, there are more pressing needs, okay, like a center forward. But signing Fabio doesn't mean that you're not going to sign a center forward, okay? And honestly, he's a fantastic talent. He's a player who's not just technically gifted, but he's also showing his end product in limited minutes. This is a very talented, very promising young player, just 22 years old, so still far away from reaching his prime. But I'm honestly shocked that Porto are letting him leave for under his 50 million euro release clause. I think that this will be a very, very shrewd pickup for Arsenal.
Fantastic. Well, I know that you've got to leave on the hour. Zach, where can people find you on the internet?
Yep, find me on BTLVid as well as BreakingTheLines.com. We have a recent article that we published today on Fabio Vieira, so definitely worth checking that out. Very good analysis on the Portuguese playmaker.
Zach, thank you so much for jumping on this. Congratulations. I see that you're on TalkSport now. You are going all the way to the top. Thank you for the insight. Everybody's loved the video, and we will catch up soon. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you.
Podcast Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.